And now, Galatians chapter 3, I'm going to read a verse from verse 5 through verse 11. Therefore, put to death the members which are upon the earth, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. Please bow with me in prayer. Father, as we approach this passage this evening and as we look at just one small aspect of it, we ask, Lord God, that you would enlighten us, that you would teach us, that you would use this servant to encourage your people, that you would use his words to convict of them of sin, should there be any sin revealed unto anyone. Lord, that as a result of this, that we may know our Savior Jesus Christ better, that we may see him, that we may grow more in love with him, that we would find him dearer and nearer to us. And now, Father, watch over us as we continue this evening. Amen. There's one question everybody asks in the morning. And it's basically the same question for everyone. And that is, what shall I wear today? What am I going to put on? And you have to make a decision. First of all, as Christians, you want to dress nicely in terms of being modest. But what is it you're going to do? Are you going to be out in the field? Are you going to be doing manual labor? Are you going to be in the office? Are you going to school? Are you going to play sports? It's got to be fashionable enough for your society. Are you concerned about that? Everybody gets up in the morning and says, what am I going to wear today? In fact, if you want to make that the title of this sermon, go ahead. What shall I wear today? God is concerned with what you wear. God is concerned not just with your outward appearance, but he's concerned with your inward appearance and how it reflects your outward manner of life. So tonight we're going to just look at two things. And having 2 points doesn't mean the sermon gets shorter. Usually means sometimes it gets longer. But the two things we're going to look at tonight is this. We're going to look at the new inner material of the new man that you are to put on. And we're going to look at the new outer pattern. That is how it is reflected. When Paul says, put on the new man, he's using a word that would be used to put on clothing. When he talks about take off the old man with all of its sinfulness, he's talking about taking off certain clothes. And now he's talking about putting on other garments. In fact, we get the English word endow from this Greek word here. So we are going to look at what we wear today. We're going to look at the new self, the new man. And first, we're going to look at the new inner material. And there's at least 5 aspects of this new inner material. And the reason why there's 5 is because I just didn't want to find more. But I'm sure you can. See, I get lazy sometimes too. But there's 5 things. First of all, there's the new birth. To put on the new man, you have to have experienced the new birth. Your original birth is a material birth. Your original birth is actually a birth into death. Do you remember, and it's been a couple of years now, you're a zombie if you're outside of Christ. You're walking dead. The new birth gives you new life. The new birth is enacted by the Holy Spirit. How many of you, raise your hand if you had anything to do with your natural birth? Somehow you got into your parents' mind and said, I want to be born. I didn't see any hands go up. Save it. You had nothing to do with your new birth. The Holy Spirit came and gave you new life. And when He gave you that new life, you turned to Jesus Christ. He gave you what it took to exercise faith. As a result, the new birth means you are now a new creature. You are now a new creature. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." All things have become new. This means in part, as Calvin says, this is an abolition of what is ourself. That is, it's an ending, an eradication of an elimination of the old man. The sinful, sin-bound self has been crucified, dead and buried, says Paul in Romans 6. He has been replaced, not repaired. You know, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, that the heavens and the earth and the heavens will melt away, and God will create a new heavens and a new earth. When you were born again, when you were made a new creature, the old self died. Oh, you still have to deal with the flesh. You still have to wrestle. You still have to fight against sin, but you do it within the context of a new self, a new creature, a creature who has the Holy Spirit living within him. With it living within her, giving you the power and the ability. You have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. You know, when Christ restored sight, He gave new eyes. When He restored hearing, He gave new ears. When He healed the lame, He gave them new muscles. When God made you a new creature, He made you all over again. And because the believer has a new birth, making him a new creature, he has a new heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." What does it mean to have a new heart? What is the heart? When Scripture talks about the heart, what is it talking about? We have a tendency in our age to think of it simply being the emotions. I remember, telling my dad, when my dad said, we can't go visit so-and-so today, I had my heart set on it. My heart is broken now that I can't go. No, the heart, when Scripture talks about the heart, it talks about more. It's the center of the person. It's the cockpit. It's the control center. It's the motherboard of the computer. Proverbs says, "From the heart flow the spring of life." First Chronicles says, "Our thoughts are found in our hearts." Ephesians 1:18 says, "It's a place of enlightenment." Your heart is the core of your being, and God has given you a new heart. The old heart is stony, unrepentant, cold, sad heart. Scripture says the heart of the unbeliever is hateful to God. It's full of evil. It's desperately wicked. It's darkened. Prone to error. It's blind. It's deceived, and it's spiteful. But when God gave you a new heart,
He gave you a heart that seeks God. A heart that wants God. The heart that says, God, teach me to love you more. Even in when you get into those rebellious state and you sin on purpose, presumptuously, there's always that nagging in your heart, in your mind, in your soul that says, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me to turn from this. Oh, God, be with me. When God gives you a new heart, He gives you a heart that's joyful. Joyful because now you can go to Him. Joyful because now you know that your sins are forgiven. Joyful to know that His wrath has been propitiated. That has been absorbed by Jesus Christ on the cross and you don't have to face it. Joyful because you know He's your Father who cares for you and watches over you and leads you and guides you. I heard a most marvelous sermon this morning, Pastor Tom Martin. And he talked about providence and trusting in providence. And as you trust in providence, you don't have to worry about the things you worry about. And while he didn't bring it up, he didn't mention it, I know he had the coronavirus in mind. We don't have to worry about that, do we? We can be joyful. Even should it invade our community, we can be joyful because we know God is in control. A new heart is upright. A new heart is upright. It's strong. It wants to walk straight and clean and pure. A new heart is tender. It reaches out its hand to the hurting. It loves the unloved. It looks for those who seem out of place and need to be welcomed in. It lifts up the little child and helps the old man and old lady down the street. It's tender. It looks for ways to show that tenderness. New heart is also broken and contrite. Mourns over its sin. Mourns over the rebelliousness brought on by the flesh which it wrestles against. A new heart will cry over its sin, will weep when it's rebellious. A new heart is obedient. And it's obedient not because that's its duty. It should. It has to. This is what I must follow, so I'll do it. It's obedient because it wants to love the Lord its God with all its heart, soul, mind, and spirit. I want you. A new heart is filled with God's law. The new heart of the new creature by the new birth is seen in the new self, has a new name. You know how important a name is? Especially in biblical times, a name was a reflection of the person. Jesus means Savior. Joshua, the conqueror, the one who saves. And even today, your name is important. You don't want your name dragged through the mud. You don't want people thinking less of you. You have a new name. New name indicates your character. Do you know? And because I pulled this out of a sermon file, and I don't have the exact citation to this fact, but I have written in the margin of my notes here, there are at least 81 titles for the believer in the Bible. At least 81. And these names reflect what your character is to be. You're a Christian, which means anointed. You've been anointed by the Holy Spirit, anointed to be what? Prophet, priest, and king, just like Christ. You're to be a prophet speaking forth His word. You're to be a priest sacrificing yourself for Him. You are a king
reigning with Christ. And one day you that will be fulfilled. You are a believer. Someone who's put their faith in God. You're beloved of God. You're beloved of the brethren. You're called of God. You're called of Christ. You're children of the Lord, children of the living God, children of the Father. You're children of the highest. You're children of Abraham. You're children of the promise. You're chosen vessels. You're the chosen, the elect, the faithful. You are fellow citizens. You are fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. You're friends with God. I like that. Saying it just now gave me goosebumps. You're friends with God. You're friends with God. You're heirs of God. You're heirs of grace. You're heirs of the kingdom, heirs of promise, heirs of salvation. You're a holy people. His own nation, a royal priesthood. You're kings and priests of God. And I like this one. You're little children. Precious little children in the eyes of God. The new name to be lived up to needs nourishment. It needs something to strengthen it. So you have new food. Those who've received heart transplants cannot live on cholesterol sandwiches. You've got to have food. And the food you need is spiritual food. And the spiritual food you need comes from God's Word. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that you are to long for the milk of the Word. The easy stuff. Go back to the basics. Some of the most simple things are some of the grandest. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's not just a children's song. That's a grown-up song. That's a grown-up song. But not only the milk of the Word, you need meat, you need solid food. When he's chastising the Corinthians, Paul says to them, I wanted to give you meat. I wanted to give you real food, but I couldn't because you were too immature. Don't stop growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a prayer Peter prays at the end of one of his letters. He says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow. Continue to read. Get commentaries. Get theological books. For a layperson, there's two books of theology that I would recommend. One is Burkhoff's Systematic Theology, and the other, I can't remember the title, but it was written by James Montgomery Boyce. Fantastic books. Great books. You need new food. You need to eat it daily. This material that makes up the new self must adhere to a right shape. In order to be attractive and serviceable garment, you need to see its outer pattern. And it starts with a new contract. A new legal document between you and God. It's called the New Covenant. The writer of Hebrews says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, no place would have been sought for a second one. But he finds fault with them and says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will conclude a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt. For they did not stand by my covenant, and I ignored them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will establish with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them upon their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And they shall not teach each one his fellow citizens and kingsmen saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from least to greatest. For I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sins no more. When he speaks of a new covenant, he declares the first one obsolete. and what has become obsolete has grown old and is close to disappearing. New covenant has replaced the old one. And now you live because an outward life because God's law has been written in your heart. And this new covenant brings you a new commandment. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Love one another even as I love you. This means living as Christ lived in relationship to others. John Calvin writes and says, because the image of God shines more brightly in the regenerate, it is proper that the band of love should be much closer among the disciples of Christ. Thus, as it recognizes anyone as a child of God, it embraces them with a greater zeal and warmth. Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, which we read, he says, love is the bond of unity. It's that which links us together. Love is the bond of unity. It is that thing that cements us together. And this new commandment means that this new life will have a new way of life. In the book of Acts, Christians, I believe it's in Acts chapter 9, are said to those who belong to the way, the way. We have a new way of life. The old way of life was for self. The new way of life is to live for Jesus Christ. The old way of life was for pleasure. The new way of life is giving up oneself for one's fellow man. For sacrifice. The old way of life was for power. The new way of life walks in humility, thinking of others as more important than themselves, looking out for the interests of others rather than one's own interest. As Christ is the way, so walk in His way. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, and by this we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. How do you know that you know Him, that you keep His commandments? In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, if you love Me, you will follow Me. That is, you will keep My commandments. You'll love His law and you want to live by His law. You don't find the law burdensome, but you find the law a delight. Happy to do what is right. Happy to put God first. Happy to love your neighbor. And when you walk in the way, you will sing a new song. I was very delighted as I walked in the sanctuary tonight and a young lady was playing on the piano. And I heard the tune of one of my favorite songs, favorite hymns, and I will spare you, I won't sing it. But come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it. Mount of God's unchanging love. You sing songs with depth. Sing songs that praise the Savior. Sing songs that lift your spirits as you think of Him. Sing songs that declare the power and the glory and the wisdom and the might of God our Father. Sing songs that thank the Holy Spirit for coming into your lives. Sing songs that at times cause you to mourn over your sins. Smitten, stricken, and afflicted. And there's that line in there about the strongest stroke was the stroke that justice gave. So ye who think of sin but lightly. Songs that are strong. A mighty fortress is our God. How great thou art. Be still, my soul. Trust and obey. You have a new song, a song. That will be eternally sung in the heavens. And you have a new home. Philippians 3:20. Your citizenship is in heaven. You have a new allegiance. You have a new family. I'm going to give you an assignment. A little homework to do. I don't know if when you get home tonight you'll be able to do it, but do it this week. Get out your concordance. Or better yet, just use a computer. And find all the one another's in the New Testament. Find all the one another's. Be devoted to one another with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Do not judge one another. Build up one another. Strengthen one another. Encourage one another. Help one another. Accept one another. Admonish one another. And if you have have an occurrence in your life where you need to admonish someone, do it with tenderness. Do it in a way that you would like someone to do it to you if you need to be admonished. But admonish one another. Care for one another. Make sure one another's needs are met. Serve one another. Show tolerance to one another. Bear one another's burden. We should have a contest. See who can come up with the longest list. So, tomorrow morning, when you get up and you ask yourself that question, what will I wear today? Say, I'm going to put on the new self. I'm going to put on the new self with all of that new material. I'm going to put on the new self with that new material, and as a result of putting on that new self with that new material, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to display that new self to others. I'm going to wear it outwardly. I'm going to show it to the world. People of God, put on the new self and take off the old. Amen. Father, as we did spend a brief time here this evening looking at that one little phrase, put on the new self, pray, Lord God, that these things would be strengthening, encouraging, helpful, that they would be stirring and, Lord, motivating, so that as we live in this world, Jesus Christ might shine. As Paul said, we are letters, we ourselves. Bless us now this evening, for us in Christ's name we pray. Amen.